Well, we have a special treat for you today. Brother Paul and Vicki Reimel are with us today. They're from Leeds, Alabama. And Paul has visited us several times in Pensacola. We got to know him and Vicki over there. And we're appreciating him so much joining us today. And he's going to share with you on preaching the gospel. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we just pray you'll take your leave to share whatever the Lord puts in your heart.
Oh, amen. Okay, brother. All right. Well, I would like to, first of all, just start out and just read a couple of scriptures here in Mark 16, and you probably know where I'm going. But over here, Mark 16:15, it says, "And he said to them," and we know it's the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Who have believed and is baptized shall be saved, but who have disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, speak with new tongues, and in their hands they shall take up serpents, and if they drink aught deadly, they shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And then down here in verse 20 it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that following." And about, I've been born again, you know, with God's Spirit for about 27 years, and I'm 54, and I got saved at 27. And for a few years, I didn't know that the number 27 representing preaching the gospel. And about a little over 20 years ago, the Lord just put it on my heart to preach the gospel, to do the work of the evangelist. And so that's what I started doing, you know, and prayed about it and all that. And at first, you know, it was kind of, I was a little bit nervous, I have to admit, you know. And, you know, what would I say? What would I do, you know, and all that. So, but anyway, so the Lord set up a situation, you know, and I was leaving work. And as I pulled out into the street and went down the street, there was a car broken down, and so I asked them if they needed a ride or whatever, and they said that they ran out of gas. So they got in my car, and we went down there to the gas station, and they got some gas, and I brought them back, and they were real quiet. They didn't really say a whole lot, and so I just felt impressed to minister the gospel to this guy, you know, who was putting the gas in his car. And, well, you just have to understand, this was really the first time that I ever witnessed to anybody. And so while he's pouring the gas in the car, I'm preaching the whole counsel of God to him. And God was just really meeting me where I was at that moment. And every once in a while, I would say, do you understand what I'm saying? He would nod his head yes. And then all of a sudden, when he was getting at the end of filling his car up with the gas, I was running out of things to say, and I was just inquiring of the Lord. I said, "Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?" You know. And so after he got through and then put the cap on, I asked him, I said, "Do you want to receive Jesus?" You know, and he said, "Yes." And I mean, I really got excited. I said, "Wow, that's great," you know. And so, you know, he asked the Lord, he repented of his sins, and this glow was kind of on his face. And then immediately, you know, I asked him if he wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I did the same thing. I thought I had to teach the whole book of Acts, you know, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for him to receive it. And so that took about probably a good 15 minutes or so. And through that ordeal, his wife was in the car. She wasn't a happy camper because she was wanting to go. But after I got through, I just asked him, "Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit?" He said, "Matter of fact, I do, you know." And so he did. So I prayed for him. I laid hands on him, and he received the Holy Spirit. And this particular guy, he had a hard time speaking anyway. He wasn't a very good, he couldn't speak English real well. And even though that was his language, but he couldn't really speak it too well. He obviously, he wasn't a very educated man. But when he started speaking in tongues, I mean, it was a beautiful language. He spoke in tongues better than he did in speaking in English. And so that was an excitement to me. I mean, that was the Lord used that to really energize me and see the works of Jesus, because he said he'll confirm his words with signs and following. And that really energized me to go out and go and preach the gospel wherever the Lord wanted me to go. But it's just like anything else, you know, when you start out in something what God's, you know, going to use you in, and being led by the Spirit, when to go and all that, you know, I did some things, you know, that I shouldn't have done. You know, I tried to force things at times and fell flat on my face every time I did. And, but God used all that to teach me. And it took some time for the Lord to kind of get me to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and to flow with the Holy Spirit. And one thing the Lord started doing too, as I was ministering, the going out and ministering on the streets and wherever He wanted me to go. Sometimes we would go in malls, and sometimes we would just go out at night and go down to certain areas of Birmingham and minister the gospel, and just go up to people and just, you know, start talking to them and ask them. One thing the Lord used me at the beginning, and it was this is what He prompted me to say. I don't really do this anymore, because I've learned some things down the road. Not to say that I won't ever say that, but I would just ask people, and I just, you know, and I wouldn't do it in an arrogant way or in a threatening way. I would just ask them. And I would say, well, be honest with yourself. If you died right now, where would you go? And be honest with yourself. And you would believe how many people said that they didn't know. And my eyes were open. And I gave an example to Rob, you know, earlier when we talked. And give an example. This is a good example. We were ministering down to Birmingham around. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was with some other brothers at this time too, and they kind of headed down to talk to some other people, and I just happened to talk to this one guy, and he was, you know, he was really dressed real nice and very proper. And And so I just, you know, we just started talking, and I asked him if he was a Christian, you know, and he just immediately just said, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Sunday school teacher, you know, just started talking about all these things that he did. He was raised in Christianity and all that, and he was real excited about it, too, and he was just really excited in the way he was sharing how much he went to church and all that. So I didn't say anything. I just let him talk. And when he finally got quiet, I prompted him with that, and I just said, "Well, let me ask you a question. If you died right now, where would you go? And be honest with yourself." And he took about 3 steps backwards, and it was really I just saw his countenance just change right before my eyes. And he said, "I really don't know." And I said, "Well, do you want to know? I mean, do you really want to know?" He said, "Yes, I do," you know. And so he repented. You know, he asked the Lord to come into his heart. He repented and believed that Jesus, you know, was raised from the dead and all that. And he just really, then he started getting excited again, and he hugged me. He grabbed me and hugged me. And the other two brothers were down there just praying in the Spirit, you know, while this was all going on. And so that was body ministry in action right there. I thought that was pretty cool. And but anyway, he just got really excited, you know, and he just really got excited. And it was just another encouragement with me to see God, you know, t- take a situation, somebody that was living a religious life and pricked his heart to where he could believe and opened up his understanding and gave him the gift of repentance to believe the gospel, and which is the power of God to save you and heal you and deliver you. And so that's kind of the little testimonies that the Lord started using me in. I did street evangelism for quite a few years, just going down at the, you know, like parks, and there's a certain place in Birmingham that's not a very good place for people to go at nighttime. But I used to go out with some brothers, you know, and we never, you know, we weren't Bible thumpers, you know. We weren't the kind that just hit people over the head with the Word of God. We would pray before we ever went out. Sometimes we would pray for 2 or 3 days before we ever went out, and just to get the mind of the Lord. And just through that praying and interceding, God, obviously the Lord saw a heart that we wanted the people to get saved and whatever, delivered or healed or whatever, you know, as we went forward. And the Lord would set things up. We would just go into a community, sometimes project areas, and it was just amazing. We went into this one project area, and a lady just came walking up to us, you know, and she asked us what we were doing there, you know, and I said, well, the Lord just put it on his heart to come here. I said, I've never been here before. And she said, he just got really excited, you know. And she was saved and spirit-filled. And she said, well, we've been praying for months that God would send someone down here to preach the gospel to these people. So we just started going through and going knocking on doors. And that's just the way the Lord had us do at that time. You know, we went knocking on doors and talking to people. And children started coming around, and we were ministering the gospel to the children, and some of them got saved, and we even prayed for some of the children to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and as we were going around in this project area, we were starting to get a little bit of a crowd following us as we were going from door to door, and so we got to experience, you know, the mighty works of God, you know, and it was another time in my life that it was really refreshing just to see the book of Acts in action, you know. And so it was another time of refreshing because he said, those who believe in my name, they shall cast out demons, speak with new tongues. In other words, they're going to be spirit-filled, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And it's the Lord working through us, and it's him confirming the word with signs following. And it's not about us. It's all about him, you know. And as we, the more I went out, the more I started learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And praise God, he gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit, too, that we can profit with, you know. And see, God will use different people differently. Some will, you know, maybe be used in the gifts of miracle, gifts of faith. Some will, gifts of discerning the spirits, or words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you know, and or gifts of healings. And so the Lord started actually equipping me with some of the giftings, you know, as I went out. And one of the giftings I had that the Lord really used was the gifts of discerning the spirits. And that became a really strong gift with me. And a lot of times when I went up to somebody, like let's just say like a Christian, I would just say, when we start talking, I said, well, you're a Christian, aren't you? They would say, oh, how do you know? I just said, well, I just know by the Spirit. And then some that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would say, well, you're also baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, right? They said, yeah. Well, why? Because we know no man after the flesh. We know him by what? The Spirit of God. Amen. And I just praised God, you know, that he's doing such a mighty work in all of us right now, and he's going to use all of us differently. Some are going to be doing the works of evangelists. Some are going to be doing other things, you know, and that's okay. And I know Paul said to make full proof your ministry to do the work of an evangelist. So, but it's just amazing how God will use it. And one of the things, David, that the Lord really started with you, which was really a blessing, and it was about back in 2005. I was a friend of mine asked me to go to a prophecy club thing. I'd never been to one, and I told him, yeah, I would. And so there was a lady there when they had a break, and they had some tapes and all that, and she kept telling me, you know, and she didn't say this to anybody else there, but when I came around, she would just start talking to me. She said that these are very good teaching tapes. Well, the brother I was with was really into the conspiracy stuff, which I wasn't, but he was, and he was wanting me to get all these other tapes, and so I ended up buying maybe a couple tapes that he wanted me to buy, but also grabbed one of Brother David's tapes, too, you know. And so it really opened my eyes, you know, about the tribulation and all that. And so I didn't realize at that time there was a situation going on. And but anyway, I called him up, and I ended up getting all your tapes and that they had at that moment, you know. And that's how it started with me with UBM. And I haven't regretted it because I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about the death of self and dying out to the self life and crucifying the flesh and that is really important in evangelism, is not going out to be something. If you're trying to go out there to build a ministry, or if you're trying to go out there to be something, you're wasting your time. You're out there for a purpose. You're out there being led by the Spirit of God. And here's some more testimonies. Like when I was, this is probably about 15 years ago, I was in the, one morning, I had an audible voice. And it said, wake up. Well, I wasn't ready to wake up. My flesh was not willing. My spirit was willing, but my flesh wasn't willing. So I fell back to sleep. And about 15 minutes later, I heard the audible voice again, wake up. And then it told me actually where to go. It said, go to East Lake Park. And so I got up and got a shower and all that. And so I drove about 15, East Lake Park was about 15, 20 minutes from me. So I went over there. And it's a big park, but it's a big where you walk around this small lake. It's about a mile long. So I just started walking around. I knew that I was supposed to be there, but I didn't know who I was going to connect with. I didn't know who I was going to talk to. I didn't know nothing. And so I just kind of walked around and ended up talking to two guys, and the Lord used that just to eat up some time, ended up just maybe about 15 minutes there. And then I sort of walked around and got halfway around the park, and they have these light posts all the way around, you know, at like 20 feet apart. And so I just kind of leaned there and just watched people come by. There was no promptings with anybody. Then here comes two big old guys, and they were black men. And one was kind of huge, and the other one was tall. And as I kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer, I just pulled myself away from the light post, and I just asked them. I said, like I normally did, I just asked them. I said, well, are you guys born again Christians, you know? And both of them said yes. Well, the real big guy, one of them was they told me where they went. One said Word of Life, and the other one said they were a Baptist, you know. And so the Lord didn't really have me direct towards the guy that went to Word of Life, but I directed to the guy that was the huge guy. I mean, this guy was huge. And I asked him. I said that same thing. I said, if you died tonight, where would you go? And he just told me he was a Christian, you know. He said, see, that was the Holy Spirit. See, that wasn't Paul Reimel. That was the Holy Spirit bringing a conviction on him. He said, I don't know. And I said, well, do you want to know? You know, and his friend was kind of looking at him because they were big friends, and, you know, they probably did a lot of things together as Christians, you know, would do. And I said, well, and so he repented of his sins and asked the Lord to come into his heart and truly repent, and he really got happy, and he did the same thing that other guy did to me. He hugged me, and kind of lift me up a little bit. And we just really started having a camp meeting right there. We were just rejoicing in the Lord. And, well, when I go out a lot of times, I also pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, too. But when I broke away from them, I went on and got halfway to my car, and I realized I forgot. But that's not what the Lord wanted to do at that moment, you know, because that brother that was with him was Spirit-filled, and he could take care of that part of it. So, but that's the kind of things the Lord started doing with me as I went out. He started setting things up, you know, as I go. And it wasn't me trying to, like I said at the beginning, sometimes I did try to force myself, but guess what? I always fell flat on my face. And one time I got kind of a little bit arrogant, and God brought a spiritual correction to me real quick. But then as time went on and more time came, I saw the seriousness of this. I mean, I really saw the seriousness of this. And it was becoming part of my life, you know, and doing the work of an evangelist became really part of my life. And with David Ells, where David Ells came in, and how the Lord brought David Ells in, was that I needed to really know the Word of God better than I did at that moment, at that time in my life, you know. I knew some of the Word of God, but I wasn't really feeding on the Word of God like I should have been. And so the Lord used David L's UVM ministry to get me in the Word and to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ and to know the truth, because also learning to abide in Him, that I would know the truth and the truth would set me free. But also, as I was going out too, another place I went, me and a brother went into another project area, and we ended up knocking on this one lady's door. And I don't know why this happened, but the man of the house was up in the attic, and the wife said, "When you came and you started getting close to our house, he ran up in the attic." And I don't know why he ran up in the attic, because I never really. You know, we didn't spend time there to talk about why he was up in the attic. But anyway, her boy, a little boy, was about 6 years old, had the flu back in his bedroom. He was back in his bedroom sick with a high fever. And so as I was talking to her in her living room with his other brother, she said that her son was sick, you know, and with a flu, with a fever. I said, "Well, do you believe Jesus can heal him?" And she said, yeah, I believe that. So she took us back to the room, and he was on the bed, and he was burning up. And so I just laid my hands on him and prayed for healing, you know. And so I just prayed. You know, I don't sit there and spend a lot of time. I just kind of pray and I watch. And if I don't see nothing, I don't make a big deal about it. So we just got up, and then we went back into the living room. While we were walking back, the boy got up, and he was right behind me. Because when I stopped in the living room, he ran into the back of my leg. And I went to feel him, you know, and he was healed. There was no more fever. And so that's what we're called to do, is to do the works of Jesus. And also to manifest his love, you know, to manifest his love and doing the works of Jesus. And God was right there just confirming and encouraging the mother. I don't really remember all what we did and said to the mother, because this was quite a few years ago. But the Lord there for a while also was in the ministry that I was in for about 8 years. I had an opportunity to go over to the UK, England, and London. So they were really wanting to know about... they were really wanting to go out to do some evangelist work, so they asked if I would come out there, and so I did, you know, for about a week. So one of the times, see, this is the wonderful thing about being led of the Spirit when you're going out and doing all that. We did the same thing there. We prayed, you know, before we went out, you know. And by doing that, we just were getting the mind of the Lord and just praying for God to open hearts. And whatever he wanted us to do, you know, to bless somebody, you know, that he would open up the doors and all that. Well, we were in the right down London, you know, and I've never been down there before, so this was all new to me. I didn't know that they had gangs in London. This was all new to me. And so as we were going through the crowd, and it was getting kind of thick there, there was a guy that came right around me, and I grabbed him on his shoulder. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody to do that, but that was just one of those promptings, you know, that I just don't normally do that. But I grabbed the guy's shoulder, and he turned around real quick, and I didn't realize that there was a gang. He had gang members around him, and I just said, and he asked me, what did I want? And I said, well, I just said, does your mother pray for you? And that's what came out of my mouth. I said, does your mother pray for you? I said, your mother's praying for you. And he said, yes, matter of fact, she does. And so we talked for a little bit, and then I got to share with him. He didn't receive nothing right there, but he was telling the other ones to back off. Now, there was two or three guys with me, but he was telling the other ones because he put up his hand, and then that's when I realized that this guy was seriously in a gang, because he kept pushing his hand like, back off, don't do anything, you know. And so we started talking. We had a really good dialogue with one another. But see, God was making a connection right there, because first of all, I didn't know who his mother was. I was not in a place where I've ever been before, and so God was using that, and that encouraged him, because he was able to I could see that he was, even though he had to put on a little air with his gang members, but he was being humbled by the Lord. The Lord was actually humbled, I could tell. And so I told him how serious it was. I said, you don't want to put this off. You know, the Lord is dealing with you, and I know he is. And so you don't want to keep pushing him away. And you know what he said? He said, I know that. He is dealing with me. And you're right. Everything you're saying is right. And so then we went over. You know what? We even hugged each other. You know, it's amazing by the Spirit of God what happens, how people just react, even when they're not even saved, in a saved state. I mean, this situation, he kind of gave me a little bit of a hug, you know, and then we went our separate ways. So that's the kind of things that the Lord will do through you. I got to, like I said, I did some traveling. That was a ministry traveling. And where I worked at, also, I used to travel and go to job sites. And but I was already catching on that the Lord was ordaining me to go different places. And I'll just tell you about this one situation where I was flying back from a place, and the guy that was sitting next to me was also coming to Birmingham too. And we got to talking a little bit, and he told me, I just got out of Bryce. Well, anybody that lives in Birmingham knows what Bryce is. It's a mental institution, you know. And I thought, whoa. And so he started saying that, you know, that he was diagnosed with having schizophrenia, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. So we were flying to Huntsville, and we were going to have to spend about maybe an hour at Huntsville. And so they let us get off the plane and just told us to stay close to the plane and all that. So that gave you an opportunity. So I just asked them, I said, do you believe God can deliver you from that? And so we went into a section where nobody was sitting at, and so we sat down, and I started taking him through some deliverance, you know, and what the Lord was wanting me to do at that time. God was meeting me where I was at through my growth of doing the evangelistic work. And so I just cast the demons out of him, you know. And then we got on the plane, and he seemed to be in a sound mind, and we talked all the way back to our flight back to Birmingham, and we had a good conversation on the way back, and then he went his way, and then I went my way, you know. And that's probably most of the ministry of me out there evangelizing, was just making connections with people and meeting people where they were at. And another situation, one time when I was down at, I used to go down to a park called Lynn Park in Birmingham. It's right behind the courthouse. And I was connected with some brothers. Every Sunday morning they would bring out some mics and stuff, you know, and minister to the people down there. And then after that, feed them, you know. So I was in and out with them for maybe 2 or 3 years. But I also saw that because of the religious spirits, they were just, when they would get people saved, they would take them right back into the system of man, you know. So I kind of broke away from that. And so I would go to another park on the south side, which was called Five Points South. And there was a guy that I kind of remember being down at the park, and I was when I used to minister for many years to the homeless people. Those were homeless, was bringing them into our house and all that, and feeding them, and did that for many years off and on. And well, anyway, one thing I started finding out that the homeless people have been evangelized so many times. I mean, evangelist. I mean, I don't know how many times some of them, you know, how many times you've been saved? Oh, about 8 or 9 times. Well, we know that that's not true, you know. You know, but that's what religion will do. It's based on a program, and it looks good, but it's not. You may get some saved, and you may get some filled with the Spirit, and you'll get some, but it's usually a small number when you do it that way. I didn't see a whole lot of fruits from that. But anyway, I was down sitting. I met up with this guy, and the Lord just had me prompt him. I said, "How many times have you been saved?" "Oh, I've been probably about 9 times." And then I just started talking to the Lord with my mind. I just said, "Lord, I'm not going to evangelize them because it'd just be another. I'll be the 10th one." So we just started talking back and forth, you know. But the Holy Spirit brought a conviction on him, and about 15 minutes as we were just talking back and forth about certain things. We weren't talking about the Lord either. We were just talking back and forth. And he said, "But I do want to know the Lord." I said, "Wow." "Wow, I realized what God just did." I said, "Wow." He said, "I do really want to know the Lord." Because he didn't know the Lord. And so it was God doing that. I mean, it's amazing to me what the Lord does. I mean, he's doing it, you know. I love your book, brother, concerning God is a Sovereign God, because I read that book, and I've really learned. I bring it into a lot of my teachings, you know, when I'm teaching the people about how God is in control. He's in control with everything that you do. And he is the one that teaches us. And we are to grow up in our giftings, you know. And he gives us for a reason, which will profit us. So when we're going out doing the works of Jesus, we're equipped by his Spirit to do the work of evangelism. And so, it's just amazing. Sometimes the Lord will give me words of knowledge or words of wisdom as I'm out about. And that happens a lot. Just words of encouragement. Sometimes I pray for people to for healings. We just had me and Vicky just back to back on a couple Saturdays ago. We were, you know, we just went out to eat. That's all we did. We went out to eat, Jim and Nick's, okay. And we, as we came out, there was a waitress, and she was she rubbing her eyes? Yeah, she was kind of holding her, you know, above her nose, and just squinching, you know, a little bit. And so I just kind of came right, because as I was walking up, I just kind of walked up to her, and I said, "What's the matter?" She said, I have a migraine headache, you know. "Well, you're a Christian." When I ask them if they're Christians, I want to make sure that they have a covenant relationship with the Lord, you know. And so I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, do you believe God can heal you from that?" She kind of looked at me, yeah, I believe he can. I said, well, he can. So I prayed for her, you know, and, well, we prayed for her, and then we just went our way, you know. She didn't say nothing. By the time, you know, me and Vicky started talking, you know, as we were walking, I looked back, she was already back in there, you know. So we just believe as we go, too. I don't try to buttonhole people or anything like that when I'm praying for people or leading people to Jesus or anything like that. But then later on, we went to Walmart. I may have it backwards. Did we go to Walmart or which way? How was it? You remember? Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, we went to Walmart later on, and we were in part of the Walmart where they have the where you buy plants and all that. So we were going out the back way, and there just happened to be a couple of motorcycle guys there, heavy duty kind of guys, you know. And my wife was at the counter, and I wasn't really at the counter with her. I was just kind of off from the counter from her. And the lady behind the counter that was ringing up her order, her merchandise, started talking about how she just got out of the hospital and because of her back. You know, she had surgery on her back. So I was listening to her. My antenna just went up, so I'm listening to her. And about that time, one of the bikers had already, because one was on the other register and one was behind my wife. And I just started looking down and just started, you know, in my mind, say, well, Lord, what am I going to do? Because how can I get in there? Well, when I was thinking all that in my mind, I looked up and the guy had got halfway around to the other side. So I pulled him behind. So I just kind of, you know, went up behind my wife, and she still was talking about her surgery and all that, how much pain she's still in. And so after she got through, I just asked her, I said, are you a Christian? Well, this is kind of funny because she kind of rose up and she said, I'm a devout Christian. I said, whoa. And I said, well, what do you believe Jesus can heal you then? She said, yeah, I believe he can heal me. And so I said, well, put out your hand. So she put out her hand, so I just touched her hand. And praise God, I just prayed for her. Just right there. I just prayed for her. And felt the anointing, me too, you know, in that particular situation. And so I didn't say nothing, you know. And so after, you know, we broke her hands apart, you know, I just came back around because she wasn't through ringing Vicky up yet. So then she got through. I was just standing there. We were just kind of talking back and forth. And then she just looked at me and she said, I'm already feeling better. I said, well, praise God, you know. So that's the things that we're out there to do, you know. The world is going to hell. So we have a lot of brothers and sisters out there that are floundering. And they're not being taught the love of the truth. And they don't know that they can be healed. They've been told to do other things for means of getting healed, you know, and they don't know the love of the truth. They don't know that Jesus bore their sins and bore their curses, and by his stripes they were already healed and all that, and by his shed blood, you know, that he took away our sin and our sin nature, and they don't know this. They know just a little of the gospel, but they don't know the whole counsel of God and what Jesus did at the cross. And so as we go out, we don't have to, you know, preach down at people. That's one thing I don't do. I was just like everybody else. I got caught up in legalism there in my early goings, and the Lord brought me out of that, and I just praised God for that and softened my heart and put a love of the truth for people and want to see people get healed, to want to see people get saved, you know, want to see people get delivered. And so God will put that in your heart. And want to, you know, asking the Lord, put it in my heart to go out and put it into my heart to minister your gospel. I remember one time I went to Kmart And this is the kind of thing, God will use any opportunity that you're in. I went to Kmart to buy something. I was going down to some of the, what do you call it, aisles. And And there was a woman, you know, and I just happened to come up to her, you know, and we just got to talking, and I said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "But you," I said, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believed?" She said, "No." Well, how did I know? It's by the Spirit. You just know because you know because you know. It's not a flesh thing. It's not a carnal thing. It's a spirit thing. And you just know because you know because you know. It could have been a word of knowledge or whatever, but I just knew. Now, I knew that she was a Christian, born of God's Spirit, but I knew by the Spirit of God she hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just came out. "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Well, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, you can receive it right here." So I prayed for her, and guess what? She got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. So that's the mighty works of God. You know, just like when the Lord sent out the apostles, and then he sent out the 70. You know, he gives us authority to do that, you know, and to go out. And he even tells us what to do, you know. Go preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he even tells us what to say, you know. If you're lost for words, God, like I said, God will use your personality. We're all different. We all have different makeups. But it's the same Lord in us. And he'll use our personality in the capacity how he wants to use you, you know. So that's really a blessing. But the one thing, you know, down through the years, I really learned is to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and to flow with the Holy Spirit. You know, Vicki can tell you time and time again when I've just gone out, you know, and went to stores and stuff, I come back and say, "You ain't going to believe this." Well, you know, I always say that, but I do believe it. But it happened again, you know, just by sharing the gospel or praying for somebody or whatever. It's just going out and doing that. Like I said, you get the promptings, and the Lord will just, you know, increase any anointings that you need to have to do his working, to do his bidding. He'll do that, you know. And it's just a blessing, because he will equip you as you go. And you don't have to worry about anything. There's nothing to be fearful about. I know the Lord used me to help some brothers out that wanted to go out witnessing, and this is what I would hear: fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Oh, man, you don't have to fear rejection. I mean, you talk about somebody with fear of rejection. I mean, I've been abandoned. If you knew my background, I've been abandoned, you know, by my dad. Was given up for adoption, you know, when I was a young boy and 8 years old, out living out in California at the time. My stepdad was in the service. We were at Travis Air Force Base. That's above San Francisco, and I was given away for adoption to my stepdad. My stepdad didn't even know his parents, so he was a good provider. But as a nurturer, he was not a nurturer at all, you know. So I've received a lot of healings. And, you know, the Lord says, you know, those who've been forgiven much loveth much. And I understand that scripture a lot, you know. I was conceived out of wedlock, you know. And so I went through a lot of things. When I was in the world, I act like the world. I talk like the world. I reveled in the things of the world. I did a lot of things in the world. But praise God, after I got saved, born of God's Spirit at 27 years old, just a few days after my birthday on Thanksgiving night, the Lord had brought me and my dad back together. And there was a guy that prayed for me for like 10 years. And me and my real dad got back together when I was 26, and the Lord used him. He was living on Bob Jones University, and but I did just like the early church. You know, when Peter preached, they said, "What must we do to get saved?" Well, I didn't say that, but I said something similar to that. I said it was just me and my dad, and that was sitting across the table from him, and just everybody else went to bed. I said, "Dad, how do you get saved?" Well, that, I kind of put him on the spot, so he went and got the Bible and brought me and started reading Romans chapter 10. You know, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. You know, so I told him, I said, "Well, you know, at that time you have to understand where I came out of. I came out of a little bit of a hippie lifestyle with long hair and all that." And I just I told him, "Well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God." And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, when I asked the Lord to come into my heart and I repented of my sin, I felt His presence, and I never had felt that anything like that. And it was really a wonderful experience with me. But on the way home, because I was living here in Birmingham and I was in South Carolina, I already started going through a spiritual warfare because I battled in my mind all kinds of stuff on the way home. But I had this peace, and I guess, you know, we know the scriptures. I had this peace, you know, that passes all understanding, guarding my heart and my thoughts. But I had this peace in me, knowing that I just received the Lord. And so instantly God brought me into a boot camp early going in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we all really go into that, but a lot of people don't realize that until later. So seeing what time it is. Well, listen, I think that's a kind of a mouthful.
You know, Paul, I remember when I was young in the Lord, I would I studied a lot, but I'd also go out and I'd preach, you know, in different areas of town, you know, especially where I felt the Lord would lead me. And He had led me a lot to hospitals, and I would just take my Bible and walk up and down the aisles of the hospital, and when the Lord would speak to my heart, I would turn into a room. Every time He would tell me to do that, I would turn in. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, you know. And talked to a lot of people about the Lord, and a lot of people, of course, you know, needed healing and have problems in hospitals. You know, they're there because they have problems, you know. And it's a good time to talk to people when they're in the midst of problems, you know, to share good news with them, you know.
Amen.
And I'd share good news with them, and I would, you know, pray for them and saw healings and deliverances, you know, and especially deliverances from false doctrines even, and because that was always a part of my ministry, and false religions, that was always a part of it. And I enjoyed that. But the more time went by, the Lord was leading me more and more just to hide away with my Bible and study and dig and study and dig. And I did years of that. At the same time, of course, we were teaching in churches and in Bible studies and things like that, you know. And when I worked out at the plant, we had a fellowship, two fellowships out there, which they made me pastors of at the time. And when I moved to Florida, I was doing a lot of studying and digging and stuff like that. And one day I just asked the Lord, I said, "Well, Lord, I certainly want to be more useful than I am." I said, "Would you like me to go out and knock on doors? Would you like me to go out and preach?" And the Lord told me, "No." I mean, I heard Him loud and clear. He said, "No.
Yeah.
I want you to do just what you've been doing, except more of it." And, you know, you told folks how that you knew exactly God's direction for you. You know, He put it in your heart. You didn't need anybody to tell you to do that, because God put it in your heart, and you understood it, and you knew it, because you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing was true with me. You know, I knew exactly where God was leading me to. First of all, He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, and His good pleasure for me was the will that He put in me to study and dig in the Word and get answers. I mean, He put questions all in my mind to get answers. And I, you know, of course, understood after a while that He wasn't just putting those in there for me. He was putting those in there for other people. Because when I got those answers, I could pass them on, you know. And I knew that was the guidance of the Lord for me. And, of course, there is a five-fold ministry. There's not a one-fold ministry. And we recently ran across some people that figured that there must be a one-fold ministry because they tried to force everybody into their mold, you know. And we tried to tell them, oh, no, no, we know what we're doing. We're following the Lord for ourselves, you know. We know exactly what God's guiding us to do, and it's well documented even on our site from dreams and visions and revelations that people gave, that the Lord gave to other people concerning us and concerning our work, you know. But you have to watch out for legalistic people that want to force you into their mold.
Amen.
Tell you what God wants for you.
Right.
You're going to know what God wants for you, especially if you're praying and you're asking God to show you and direct you and gift you to do what you're doing. You know, when a person gets a gift from God, there should be no argument from people that are on the outside looking in. I mean, that gift is from God, and He puts it there because that's what He is equipping you to do. The gift of God is God Himself coming in you in a certain form to gift you to do His calling for you. So what I'd like to say to folks out there is, look, don't let anybody force you into any mold. You know, the mold is Jesus Christ, and we are all members of that body. In other words, we all have a different part of the fulfillment of the work of the body of Christ in the earth today. So, you know, when you pray and you ask for God's gifts, as you should, desire earnestly spiritual gifts and callings and anointings, when you ask God for these things, just know that what He puts in your heart is what He wants you to do. You will love to do what He wants you to do. You'll enjoy doing what He wants you to do.
Oh,
when
amen.
People force you into their mold, there's something that just doesn't feel quite right to you. You're trying to do something that you don't necessarily have a gift to do, you know. But when you're doing what God's put in your heart to do, it's a gift. You know it, and you enjoy it because God puts that joy in you to see the fulfillment of it, you know. Paul, you spoke how joyful you feel when you see the fruit of your ministry going forth. And, you know, you see it in other people's hearts, and it puts great joy in your heart, you know. It's the same way with everybody that's called of God to do whatever they're called to do. You know, they're just so happy when they're doing their gift. You're miserable when you're doing what other men think you ought to be doing.
Okay.
But you're very happy when you're doing your gift. And don't let anybody tell you, this is what God wants you to do. If you know on the inside, you know what God wants you to do, and it isn't what they tell you, you know. So, I mean, God will lead. He will guide you. He will gift you. He will anoint you to do exactly what He wants you to do. Praise be to God. And, of course, we can all do a better job at whatever God's calling us to do, you know. But I remember when the Lord told me that so clear, it was so clear as a bell. No. I want you to do just what you've been doing, except I want you to do more of it, you know. And so, by the gift of God and grace of God, that's what I've been doing, you know. And, you know, there are some brothers that tried to tell me I was supposed to be out on the street corner preaching, and I certainly believe that's an awesome gift to God, you know. If it's done right, and I perceive, Paul, that you do it right, you know, you're not pushy, and you're not condemning. You know, you cause people to love what you say and to see Jesus in you, the love of Jesus in you, then that's an awesome gift, you know. But they can't, I mean, when you try to tell somebody, no, that's not what God wants me to do, and they tell you, yeah, that's what you got to do. I mean, no, wait a minute, I know better. I know what God's calling me to do, you know. Of course, the other brethren were the same way, but you just know and you enjoy doing the gift that God puts in your heart. Right, Paul?